That's right, Mr. President. I have a plan to end racism for good. Yep, that's correct, sir. Yes. My Twitter account has the capability to end racism even more than Martin Luther King and Jackie Robinson combined. That's correct. All right. Enjoy your Happy Meal, Mr. President. And remember, Trump 2020, baby. excuse me. Well, folks, welcome to another episode of the Class Act Podcast. I am your host, Barry McCockiner. Well, it is the Monday after the Super Bowl, and, well, wouldn't you know it, the Patriots have won another Super Bowl. They now have 6 in the last 18 years, and they have 3 in the last 5 years. Let me start out by saying that it's an incredible run. It's probably the greatest run of any team considering salary cap era and things like that. I mean, you know, you had the Celtics that won like 11 rings in 3 years in the Jim Crow era, but nobody gives a fuck about that. This is like, you know, nowadays, present day, this is the most impressive run I think any major pro sports team has been a part of, and all the credit goes to the coach, Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach that I've ever seen in any sport. This is a man who has won 6 rings with a quarterback who can't throw the ball over 15 yards with any consistency. It really is incredible. And this is another guy. The guy won 11 games in 2008. With the quarterback who hadn't started since high school. He is the last coach, I should say, to win a playoff game with the Cleveland Browns. Okay? The Cleveland Browns. He's the last guy, the last coach to win a playoff game for the Cleveland Browns. He's just incredible. He really is a genius. This is a guy who he held one of the highest scoring offenses of all time to 3 points in the Super Bowl. 3 fucking points. And even those 3 points were on a field goal that was like from 53 yards. I mean, it was one of the, you know, it was, to be honest with you, this had to be, just from an entertainment perspective, this was one of the worst Super Bowls that I've ever watched. It's definitely in the bottom 5. And to be honest, I think, as you know, I'm 24 right now, for people who didn't know. I'm 24 years old. I'm going to be 25 in a couple months. People my age have really kind of been spoiled over the last 20 years or so, because a lot of the Super Bowls over the last 20 years were actually really close, really entertaining games that really went down to the wire. Whereas, there'd be a few stinkers every now and then, like the Seahawks-Broncos Super Bowl, which was a complete blowout. Then you had the Broncos-Panthers Super Bowl, which was just a complete snooze fest. And that last night's Super Bowl was a lot like Super Bowl 50, where the score might have been close, but it never really felt close because literally neither offense could really do anything. So, like, scoring the ball once, it felt like, you know, 1 point, like, 1 touchdown felt like 5 touchdowns. It's like the complete opposite of last year's game, where the teams were going up and down the field at will, scoring, you know, 30, 40 points. It was the complete opposite. But I mean, this has been, as a guy who is known as the biggest Tom Brady. People call me a hater. I don't call myself a Tom Brady hater because literally all I do is just retweet facts and like actually give evidence for my claims. Like, what I say isn't false. I mean, he is the most overrated athlete of all time. I mean, for fuck's sake, he's 5-0 in playoff games where he doesn't throw a touchdown pass. He's 5-0. 5-0. Literally, there are so many great quarterbacks that have struggled to win 5 playoff games in their career, and this fucking UGG-wearing bitch has that many playoff games in games where he threw 0 touchdowns. It's ridiculous. The Patriots won, had the fewest points ever scored in a Super Bowl by the winning team with 13. They broke the record of the Dolphins, the 72 Dolphins, ironically, who only scored 14 points in their Super Bowl. This is actually, ironically, also coming a year after they set the mark for most points in a Super Bowl loss. This is the second time that Tom Brady has won a Super Bowl, leading his offense to 13 points or less. I tweeted about it. Aaron Rodgers is, in all 7 of Aaron Rodgers' playoff losses, he hasn't scored any fewer than 20 points. So, I mean, that's just a little microcosm for their careers right there. Another amazing Tom Brady stat is the guy is 3-0 in playoff games where he throws no touchdowns and an interception. That is ridiculous. That is fucking ridiculous. And there really wasn't any one particular play in this Super Bowl where Brady got bailed out. I mean, you could say Brandon Cooks dropping the touchdown pass, but I mean, really the big bailout came in the AFC Championship game with Dee Ford. I mean, first of all, this really should have been the Super Bowl this year should have been Chiefs versus Saints. That would have been the Super Bowl this year. That should have been the Super Bowl this year. Except the Saints had a horrible call go against them, and the Chiefs had a season-winning interception, or I shouldn't say season-winning, but a game-winning interception against the Pats. I've been over this. I know I talk about it a lot, but I feel the need to talk about it because literally everywhere you go, it's all about how Tom Brady is great. He's the greatest athlete of all time. He has 6 rings. He's the Michael Jordan of football. He's the greatest athlete in team sport history. He's the fucking best athlete. A guy who threw fucking more interceptions than touchdowns in the fucking postseason is the greatest athlete of all time. A guy who had an 85.9 passer rating this postseason, which wouldn't have even been in the top 25 in the regular season. That would have been just above Alex Smith in the pass rating department this year. Unfucking believable. Yeah, Tom Brady did a great job handing the ball out to Sony Michel and Rex Burkhead. What a great fucking job by Tom Brady. The guy throws to fucking Julian Edelman, a 32-year-old, little white guy who got suspended for using PEDs, who gets open by like 50 yards on every fucking third down. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know what the Patriots do, but literally every fucking time there's a third down or there's some big play to be made, the Patriots are able to get a receiver, and this postseason it was normally Edelman. They just get like the receiver wide open, and they just scheme a receiver open. I don't know. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. I really can't. I'm more in amazement of it. I just can't believe, like, I expect it. Like, I just expect it. And when it does, that's why I was really kind of surprised that the Patriots offense was so shitty for really the entire, it was really shitty for the entire game. But really, in the first 3 quarters, the game was tied at 3 going into the fourth quarter. I mean, I don't know. Jared, I mean, the credit for this Super Bowl win goes to the Patriots defense and the running game. And that was really, those were the two. Tom Brady, even though Tom Brady is going to get all the credit, and even though he's a fucking attention whore and the media will slobber all over his dick again, Tom Brady, this was like Peyton Manning winning Super Bowl 50 or Trent Dilfer winning with the Ravens. I mean, it's literally nearly impossible to lose giving up just 3 points. I mean, fucking Ryan Leaf could have played quarterback for the Patriots in Super Bowl 53, and there's a non-0% chance that they would have lost. I mean, there's a non-0% chance that they would have won, I should say. Like, that's how easy Tom Brady had it. He was horrible all game. He made like one impressive throw. And because that impressive throw, which was to Gronk, happened in the fourth quarter, which set up the only touchdown the entire game by either team, Tom Brady actually got credited with another game-winning drive, which you know, all of his dick riders and fans and the media are using. Oh, Tom Brady did it again. Let another game-winning drive. Oh, give me a fuck. So the guy gets credit for playing like shit for the first 3.5 quarters, and because he makes one good throw in the fourth quarter, and this isn't the first time he's done it. He's done it all the time. That's why he has so many fucking game-winning drives in the playoffs, because in so many playoff games, he's played like shit for the majority of the game. His defense has kept him in the game despite him playing like shit, and then he makes a good play or gets bailed out on a throw and leads a go-ahead drive, and then he gets credit for it, and then his legend grows. I cannot wait until this motherfucker retires. I really can't. I cannot wait until this motherfucker retires. The NFL will be so much better. And unfortunately, I think, you know, I think he can play, and I've talked about this before. I really think he can go for another 4 years. He said he wants to play till he's 45, and he is a big enough egomaniac to where I think he'll want to do that. And I think he plays. Think about this, is like, this was one of the weaker Patriots teams. Like, the Patriots have like 5 picks in the top 100 in the draft. Their first round pick from last year, Isaiah Wynn, the tackle, tore his Achilles. So they're adding their first round pick going into next year. They're getting him back, plus 5 top 100 picks in the upcoming draft. I mean, they might trade down. Who knows? That's what they do because of Belichick. But still, I mean, and plus, you know, the AFC East is going to be the AFC East again next year. They're going to suck. The Dolphins are rebuilding. The Jets, who gives a fuck about the Jets? The Bills are the Bills. They have a quarterback. The Bills have a good defense, but they have a quarterback who can't fucking throw a ball 5 feet accurately. So, I mean, it's going to be more of the same next year with the Patriots, and they could probably be even better. They should win more than 11 games next year. I mean, it looks right, you know, despite Tom Brady, who will be 42 come next season, which you'll definitely hear a lot about. Tom Brady was for the most part, Tom Brady was not impressive really this year. I mean, he made, ironically, the most impressive half that he played this season, in my opinion, was in a game that the Patriots lost. And that was the first half against Miami, which that was like, you know, and he had his best throw of the year that I saw, which was the touchdown pass to Patterson, came in a loss. So, you know, It's going to be more of the same, unfortunately, and we're going to have to, you know, and because he keeps winning these rings, you know, we're going to have to keep hearing all about Tom Brady, but really it's not, the Patriots aren't successful because of Tom Brady, okay? They're successful because of Bill Belichick, first and foremost. That's it. That's it. Like, that, you know, that's not me being a hater, okay? Look, I absolutely hate the Patriots, I hate Tom Brady, but I am able to admit when somebody is, you know, is good, or if, you know, if they're impressive, I'm able to put my bias aside and admit it. And Tom Brady just isn't impressive. I don't care what you say. I don't care how often his fans who flock to my mentions every time I tweet about him and give, you know, I don't care. And I've said it many times. I said it. I don't care what happens the rest of Tom Brady's career, because he's been playing for almost 2 decades now, and he's not going to change now. He is not impressive to me. He is not the best quarterback of all time, in my opinion. Now, of course, because he's won another ring, it's going to be louder. But people have already he was already seen as the GOAT. I mean, now it's just, in most people's minds, he's kind of running up the score. But again, you know, football is the most team-dependent game ever, and applying a team winning a Super Bowl to just one player is just incredibly stupid. It's incredibly illogical, but sports fans are stupid people, and that's why they place so much emphasis on rings for quarterbacks when there's so many things that go into winning a Super Bowl outside of the quarterback. As I always say, the quarterback is the most important position, but it's not more important than all the other positions combined. And a lot of people seem to forget that. there was another quarterback that played in Super Bowl 53, Jared Goff, who was absolutely horrendous. One of the worst Super Bowl performances of all time. Jared Goff was horrible. He was absolutely horrendous. And it wasn't really surprising. It wasn't surprising that he was horrendous. It's the more surprising thing, I guess, was, I mean, I don't think anybody expected him to, I don't think anybody expected the Rams to score just 3 points, but I think people expected the Rams are going to have to try and do something in spite of Jared Goff. Kind of similar to what the Patriots had to do with Brady, is neither Goff or Brady are good at throwing into tight windows, so you have to scheme open these plays. You have to scheme open routes, and the Patriots did a great job of that, especially with Edelman, by putting him in motion so the Rams, by putting him in motion at the start of the play and switching him with the sides of the field so the Rams couldn't bracket him or get, you know, press man or anything like that so he could get a clean release off the line of scrimmage. Again, just incredible coaching by the Patriots. But Goff was horrendous. It was one of the worst Super Bowl performances I've ever seen. And, you know, again, like I mentioned earlier, this really should have been Chiefs versus Saints in the Super Bowl, if you're talking about it. I mean, you know, again, if it wasn't for the horrible non-pass interference call, and that's not, you know, but I still say, even though the Saints fans, you know, Saints fans are really fucking annoying, man. They just will not stop bitching. You know, it's almost been 2 weeks, and I get it, It was a horrible call. And believe me, should the Saints have won that game? Yeah. But here's the thing that gets overlooked about that game, and I've talked about this before. Okay? Sean Payton did a horrible job calling plays. Drew Brees didn't look like Drew Brees, didn't look like a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, really, for the last month or so of the year. And in the playoffs, and especially in that game, he looked really bad, and when he got into overtime, he threw the interception. So, you know, I think for Saints fans, just give it up, man. I mean, it's just, you know, they've really been crying. I understand complaining about it for, you know, a day or two, but Jesus, for over 2 weeks now, I mean, give it a fucking rest, guys. Come on, seriously. Now the thing, one of my other favorite Super Bowl traditions is anytime a team loses, especially a team from the NFC, anytime a team loses, everyone's like, oh, they'll be back. No, they're not. Like, people just assume because, you know, the Rams, because Sean McVay is young and Jared Goff is young, that, you know, the Rams will be back in the Super Bowl. Yeah, they said the same thing about Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. They said the same thing about New Orleans with Drew Brees. They said the same thing with Cam Newton and the Panthers. Like, the NFC is no joke, okay? Drew Brees, you look at Drew Brees' career over the last 9 years, he's put up unmatched pure statistics. He hasn't even made it back to a Super Bowl. Same with Aaron Rodgers. Hasn't even made it back to a Super Bowl in almost a decade. The NFC is a fucking slaughterhouse. All right, the only team to repeat as back-to-back NFC champions was the Seahawks, and that took basically an epic unmatched collapse by the Packers late in the conference championship game that year in order for it to happen. So, like, the NFC is no joke. Now, the AFC, on the other hand, which happens to be the conference that the Patriots play in, is a different story. The AFC is really a lot more top-heavy, although I will admit, especially this year, it's starting to get better. Obviously, you have the Patriots, who can win 11-plus games with a high school quarterback. Then you have, obviously, the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, who, if he stays healthy, I think is going to end up being one of, if not the best quarterback of all time. To do what he did in his first year as a starter is really unmatched by anybody else in NFL history. If he stays healthy, he really is going to be an all-time great. But again, the problems with the Chiefs is their defense is horrible, and their fucking defensive linemen don't know how to line up offsides on plays when the fucking quarterback throws a season-ending interception. But I digress. you have the Colts with Andrew Luck. You have the Texans with Deshaun Watson. Now, am I saying, do I trust those guys? And the fact that the other thing is like having Watson and Luck in the same conference benefits the Patriots, because that means that either Watson or Luck are going to be getting a wild card every year. You know, it's tough to say, but I mean, the AFC is a lot more clear. I mean, the stat is, you know, since 2003, only Brady, Big Rape, Peyton, and Flacco. So over the last 16 years, only four quarterbacks have represented the AFC in the Super Bowl. And the reason Flacco did that one year was because Raheem Moore committed one of the worst plays by a cornerback in NFL history. So Flacco was a fluke year. He got in based off of a fluke. So really, the AFC has been, you know, a three-quarterback conference. And specifically for Brady, it's basically been like the Tom Brady Invitational over the last two decades. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. The day after the Super Bowl is always kind of weird because, you know, it's like as a sports fan, you're shifting from, you know, you start to shift from being a football, you kind of get in a football rhythm where it's, you get used to a rhythm of, okay, Thursday night football, then a few days off, then it's Sunday, and then you got Monday night football. And then the playoffs, you know, you do that for 4 months, and then the playoffs come, and, you know, you get all this build up, and you have all this build up and media narratives and media attention placed on one game, and then poof, there's no more real games for another 7 months. And then you're like, all right, well, now it's NBA season. And normally this wouldn't really be a problem, except for the fact that, and I talk about this almost in every pod somehow, but the NBA is, you know, it's predictable. Everybody knows what's going to happen. So, I mean, it's hard to kind of psych yourself up for what happens in the NBA, because we all know the Warriors are going to win. So that's why I think for the NFL, especially as an NFL fan, at least there's some suspense, because even though the Patriots are, you know, pretty much guaranteed to get a playoff spot every year, they're guaranteed to win their division. They're not guaranteed to win Super Bowl every year. They might be guaranteed to be in the Super Bowl every year, but they're not guaranteed to win it every year. Unlike the Warriors, who we all know are gonna, you know, sleepwalk to another title this year with their five all-stars. Five. Not one, not two, not three, not four. Five all-NBA caliber players. Yeah, and I admit saying Draymond Green's an all-NBA caliber player might be stretching it at this point, but fuck it, all right? People are going to call Wash Dwayne Wade a fucking superstar player when he was with LeBron in Miami. I'm gonna say that Draymond's an all NBA player with the Warriors. Okay, that's just, you know, that's it. That's just what I'm gonna go to it. Let's see, I mean, what else is there to talk about here? I don't know. Like, that was like, and I touched on it, but that was really just one of the most underwhelming Super Bowls. Like, that was it was a lot like Super Bowl 50, and I talked about it before. It was a lot like, you know, the Broncos-Panthers Super Bowl, where it was just like a slow, boring grind of a game. And, you know, it just was a horrible Super Bowl. It was a really, really good regular season. Excuse me. I thought this regular season was really good. It was a great regular season for the NFL. The playoffs were pretty underwhelming, in my opinion. The best round of the playoffs, objectively, was the conference championship round, because that had two close games. But that was soured by the missed call and Dee Ford. And I keep going back to Dee Ford because this is just another example. He's just another example in a long line. I'm trying to compose myself here, folks. He's another example in a long list of examples. I know that doesn't make sense, but stay with me. of Brady's luck, of Tom Brady's luck, just to, just shit out of Tom Brady's control that goes his way to bail him out. I mean, to be honest with you, and I talked about it on Twitter. Tom Brady obviously has 6 rings. He's lucky to have 2. He's like the only year I can honestly look at and say, "Oh, he's lucky that he didn't lose." In his title winning years is 2004. That which happens in my opinion to be the second best Patriots team after 2007, which ironically didn't win the Super Bowl. Although, and this is again, this goes back to why using like, although with teams, I guess it's fair, but at the same time, it's like the 2007 Patriots scored more points in their Super Bowl than the 2018 Patriots did. Yet the 2018 Patriots won the Super Bowl and the 2007 Pats didn't. And anybody who has any common sense knows that the 2007 Pats were a better team than the 2018 Pats. So it's just, football's just a weird game, man. It's a really, really weird game. The only constant is that Tom Brady, at some point in the postseason, is going to get bailed out. That's just how it works. At some point in the postseason, Tom Brady is either going to have a shitty game where he gets carried by his defense, or he's going to have a season-ending play, or his team is going to be in a situation where they should have lost, but they don't because of a singular play, like the Malcolm Butler interception, or the Robert Alford dropped interception, or the D4 lining up offsides. I mean, the tuck rule. That right there, those 4 plays, literally, I can take Tom Brady from having 6 rings and being the best athlete of all time. I can just, by changing just 4 plays, okay? 4 fucking plays. He now has 2 rings. And I know the retort by Patriots fans is, yeah, but what about the Tyree catch? And what about, the Manningham catch and the Wilker drop? And, oh my God, man. You know, all that shit. That's what they come back. Okay. You're going to tell me that, okay, if Tyree drops the pass, it would have been 4th down for the Giants. So that doesn't automatically guarantee the Patriots would have won if David Tyree had dropped that pass. And never mind the fact that that game came directly after Tom Brady won the AFC Championship game, throwing 3 interceptions against a quarterback on a torn ACL. And the Welker drop game, where Tom Brady led the offense, the Pats offense, which averaged over 30 points a game in the regular season, he led them to just 17 points against a wild card team, a 9-7 wild card team. Are you kidding me? And this was coming one game after throwing 2 interceptions and having a sub-58 passer rating in the AFC Championship game against the Ravens, where Lee Evans dropped what should have been a winning touchdown, and then Billy Cundiff choked a gimme field goal. So, to be honest, in those 2 years that the Patriots lost to the Giants, the Patriots were lucky to even be in the Super Bowl because Tom Brady played like fucking dog shit but got bailed out in the conference championship game. Okay, so literally everywhere you look with Tom Brady, he's been bailed out one way or another. That's just the facts. Those are the facts. And I know, like, for some reason, it's like taboo to mention this shit. But I'm going to call what I see. And what I see is a guy who just is just consistently bailed out. And the accomplishments that he has are not anywhere near indicative of his talent, his ability. He's just not that. He's just not as good as people make him out to be. Sorry, but that's the facts. Those are the facts. You might not like it, but it's true. Those are the facts. Everything I say about Tom Brady is a fact. Like, you might not agree with it, even though you should. You might not agree with what I say about Tom Brady, but I give evidence, I give examples, I give stats to support my claim. I don't just say, oh, the Patriots are cheaters. Never mind the fact that the Patriots are cheaters. The Patriots are cheaters. They cheated. They literally used to send assistants dressed up as like video camera guys to illegally videotape opponent's signals. Okay? I don't care about any of that. Okay? I don't care about any of that, even though, you know, it should automatically disqualify, you know, Brady and Belichick or Brady from being seen as the best quarterback of all time. Okay? But I mean, fuck. For fuck's sake, the Super Bowl MVP just got suspended for using PEDs this season. I mean, it's ridiculous, but nevertheless. I lost my train of thought there. I got so frustrated. Tom Brady's overrated, and I cannot wait until he retires. But until he does retire, I am going to keep exposing him, and I'm going to keep telling the truth about him. And the rare times he does make a good throw, I will give him credit for making a good throw. Okay? I'm not biased enough to ignore that. Okay? He made a great throw to Gronk in the Super Bowl last night, late in the game, in the fourth quarter. That was his only good throw of the game. Okay? That was it. I'm not biased enough to let that interfere with what I see. But again, the guy just... He's fucking overrated, and I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that as many people can understand this, okay? Because if I can change your entire legacy by changing just four plays, you're overrated. If you leave that much to chance, then you can't be the greatest of all time, especially when people are using team accomplishments to say you're the greatest of all time. When the reason you have those team accomplishments is because you got bailed out. It is, you cannot ignore. Here's the thing. You cannot ignore all the lucky breaks Tom Brady has gotten if you are going to call him the best ever. You just can't do it because it's literally intertwined with everything he does in the postseason. A guy with a worse playoff passer rating than Blake Bortles and Mark Sanchez and Alex Smith, okay, is not the greatest athlete in sports history. And I know stats aren't everything. And I know Tom Brady's played more playoff games than those guys, and sample size is a factor. But I don't give a fuck. If this guy is supposed to be the second coming of Jesus Christ, he should have a better passer rating, and he should be more efficient in the postseason than three quarterbacks who are considered average or bums. That's a fact. That's an undeniable fact. You cannot have it both ways. You can't say he's the greatest thing since Jesus Christ and then turn around and say, well, his stats aren't that great because he's playing better competition. Durr. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Either he's that good or he's not. And he's not. This is unlike Michael Jordan, who Tom Brady is going to be compared to relentlessly now, even more, because they both have 6 rings. As much as I hate Michael Jordan, as much as I think he was playing against off-duty firefighters, because he was. He played against, you know, he was playing against the guy that fixed my furnace last week. The motherfucker put up ridiculous stats. The motherfucker was the best. He was the best. He was unequivocally the best player of his generation. Unequivocally. There was no doubt. None, zero, that he was the best, and he had the stats, he had the production to back it up, and Tom Brady does not have that. He does not have that. So even though I make fun of Jordan, even though I'll make quibs about his competition, I respect the hell out of Michael Jordan's basketball ability. At least playing. He's a horrible owner, but as a player, he was the best. I have little to no respect for Tom Brady's ability as a quarterback. And that's not to say he's a bad quarterback. But he is nowhere near as good at playing quarterback as Michael Jordan was at playing basketball. That's just a fact. And he's nowhere near as good as LeBron James either, for the record. Just you know, as a matter of fact. He's nowhere near as good. In fact, and I've said this before, I don't even think Tom Brady is one of the 3 best quarterbacks of his own era. I think Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and I think if Patrick Mahomes stays healthy, I mean, Patrick Mahomes already in 1 year has made more impressive throws and made more holy fucking shit plays than Brady has in 17 years as a starter. But obviously, Mahomes needs more sample size, but I think Mahomes is better than Brady. Oh, well. You know, I'm just lucky I'm happy I'm not in school anymore because, you know, I still don't really understand why the day after the Super Bowl isn't a holiday because everybody's drunk, everybody's hungover. Well, I shouldn't say everybody. I don't drink because I'm a good person and I'm better than you if you do drink. But, you know, it's just another day where you're like, oh God, I don't want to go into work, and you're hungover, and you have so much shit in your mind, and, you know, it's just one of those things where, you're like, why not get the day off? And I mean, for me, you know, people say that a lot of my work is because of, you know, without Tom Brady, you don't have any material. Look, I mean, you know, I could talk about plenty of stuff. In fact, I think once Tom Brady is gone, and I don't have to spend so much time trying to expose him for the fraud that he is, I think I'll be even better than I am right now in terms of the quality content. Because, yeah, I admit that sometimes I get a little bit too deep into my Tom Brady, you know, exposing, and I can go a little bit overboard sometimes. But, you know, it's kind of a personal thing for me. You know, I like to stick it to Patriots fans because I can't do anything about the Patriots' success on the field. Okay, the Patriots are going to be successful no matter what I do. But I can annoy their fans with facts, and I'm going to keep doing that. And if you don't like it, hey, it's too fucking bad. Anyways, that was this episode of the Class Act Podcast. I'm hoping to get some merchandise getting started soon. You know, I'm really thankful for all the support that I've gotten. You know, my account keeps growing. I can't believe how fast it's blown up. You know, but it just, I'm just really, really, I can't believe how many fans I have. I can't believe how many people enjoy my sense of humor. You know, if I could, I would kiss all of you like Tom Brady kisses his kids and Robert Kraft. Anyways, that's it for this episode. Stay classy and respect the troops.